Okay, fantastic. Good people, welcome to the New Breed Conference Call with me, your host, Bishop Wayne Malcolm, and I am delighted that you're with us on the line on this Monday night that is devoted to spiritual laws and to the diamond members of the ICANN, to the silver members of the ICANN Global Network. If you're not already a member of ICANN Global, just go to ICANNGlobalNetwork.com, sign up for free, and become part of the family, the tribe, the community that is destined to change the world from the inside. Tonight we have a very powerful lesson, and it will require a lot of thought, but we're going to go in deep. Now, as it is a bank holiday here in the UK, and lots of people are out and about making use of the extended weekend, I toyed with the idea of not doing tonight. I toyed with it and then threw it out, because I'm really in a flow of the word and want to teach as much as I can. So anyone that missed the session can always get the recording from the Silver Page and ICANN Global Network. All right, tonight's subject, what is man? What is man? And I'm reading from Psalm 8, the 8th Psalm. Third verse and following, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Well, it's a very relevant question. It's a pertinent question. It's a question that needs to be asked. The psalmist said, when I consider the universe, the wonders of the universe, the wonders of the night sky, the stars, the sun, the moon, when I consider how magnificent and how vast is the creation, I have to ask, what is man? What is man that thou art mindful of him? And why would you put everything under his feet? Notice it says, thou madest him, you made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. So that's the question that we want to answer tonight. Is this obsession that divinity has with humanity? Why is it that God has chosen mankind, humanity, to rule over the works of his hands? Considering how vast and expansive the universe is, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou wouldst visit him? Why would God make us to have dominion over all the works of his hands? And this is an important lesson, because when I ask the question and seek to answer it biblically tonight, I want you to think about yourself. Okay, what is man? Basically, who am I? What am I that God thinks of me so highly? What am I that God would want to entrust me with the works of his hands? Why would God want to crown me with glory and honor? And this is a very, very important question. So I'm going to start tonight by talking about the three heavens. The three heavens. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 2, Paul the Apostle says, I knew a man about 14 years ago, whether in the flesh or not, I knew such a one who was caught up into the third heaven, into the paradise of God. And he heard words that were unlawful for him to utter. Now, Paul is probably talking about himself when he says, I knew a man 14 years ago. whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. What that means is he wasn't sure if this was a physical experience or a vision. He couldn't tell if this was physically happening or spiritually happening. It was so real. The lines between the physical and the spiritual world were very blurred. He didn't know whether this was a physical catching up into the third heaven or whether he was transported in a spiritual sense. But he said this person was caught up into the third heaven. And he refers to that third heaven as paradise. And so what is clear from that teaching is that there's not just one heaven, there are at least three. There's not just one heaven, there are at least three. And I want you to think of the three heavens as three worlds. And the Bible talks about worlds and not just a world. So I'm going to break down what the three heavens are, what the three worlds are, because we live in these three worlds simultaneously. And when you look out at the world, if all you see is one world, and if all you perceive is one world, then you're missing at least two other worlds. So the third heaven is God's domain. It's God's throne. It is where God rules, where God is sovereign. And I'm going to refer to it as the spiritual realm. The third heaven is the spiritual realm. The first heaven is the physical world. And that's why, you know, astronauts go up into space and then say that they didn't see God. Well, the fact is that they simply explored the physical world. And the physical world is only the first heaven, the material world. And it is governed by physical laws, or the laws of physics. And science, at its best, can only ever discover the laws that are governing the physical world, because that's all they can observe. The physical world, the physical universe, the physical sky, that is the first heaven. And the third is the spiritual realm. It is God's throne. It's where God is sovereign. But the second is, in fact, the soulish realm, or the realm of consciousness. And it is in this realm of consciousness that angels and demons operate. Angels and demons operate not in the third heaven where God is, where God is enthroned, but in the second heaven, which is the realm of consciousness. Now, somebody said, well, how can you verify that? Well, again, according to Paul, demonic strongholds exist in a person's imagination. He says, which doesn't mean that they are a figment of the imagination or that they are not real, because your imagination is a very real world, and it is a world that has a lot of power to determine the direction of your life. And he says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And then he says, casting down imaginations. Because that's, in the realm of consciousness, that is where angels and demons operate. So what we have here are three worlds, or three realms. The physical realm, the soulish realm, or the realm of consciousness, and the spiritual realm, the spiritual world, which is God's throne. Now, these three worlds, or these three heavens, correspond to the three rooms in the tabernacle of Moses. You'll remember that God instructed Moses to make a tabernacle in the wilderness so that he could live among them. Everyone else had a tent, but God didn't have a tent. So God said, make me a tent, and then I will live right in the midst of you. And then he gave them instructions, gave Moses instructions on how to build his tent. And what we see is that the tent had three rooms, or three courts. It had an outer court, it had an inner court, and then it had a most holy place, what we call the Holy of Holies. And what you see in the organization, or the furniture that is placed in these courts, is that the throne of God is in the third room. the throne of God, the Ark of the Covenant, the cherubim, the Shekinah glory, it is all in the third room. You get into the second room, and there is the light of a golden candelabra. There is an altar of incense, and there is a table with sacred bread. This refers to this soulish realm. It corresponds to this soulish realm. And then in the outer court, there are pieces of furniture which have to do with sacrifice. Now, the fact is that the three heavens correspond to the three rooms that are in the tabernacle, but they also correspond to the three components of a human being, the three components of a human being. Because according to Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, a human being is composed of spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. And there is a thin line between spirit and soul, but there is a difference. You and I are fundamentally spirit beings. We're fundamentally spirit. We have a soul, which is an intellect, which allows us to engage the world of consciousness. And we live in a body. So I am a spirit, I have a soul, I live in a body. I want you to say that. I am a spirit, I have a soul, I live in a body. So a human being is composed of these three elements, spirit, soul, and body. And these correspond to the three heavens and the three rooms that are in the tabernacle of Moses. Now, I want you to just put that aside for just a moment, because we're going to see why this is so very relevant to our question, what is man? And I want to talk for a few moments about the origin of things. The origin of things. You know, as we observe things in the physical world and the material world, as we look at nature and as we look at the things that men have invented, formed and invented, and we look at things, well, I want us to consider the origin of those things. And you can take anything. Let's start with the phones that we're using right now. You may be using a mobile phone. You may be using your house phone. You may have a headpiece. But that phone is a physical manifestation of something that began in another world. And where that phone began, its journey, the origin of that phone, is in the realm of consciousness, of the realm of thought, the realm of soulish realm, because you had an inventor who conceived the idea conceptually, mapped out the concept, put it down on paper, developed a prototype, tested it, manufactured it, and then brought it to market. But its origin is in an unseen realm. Its origin is therefore in the realm of thought. So the question, when I talk about the origin of things, I'm really talking now about the spiritual root of things, the spiritual root of which material things are a fruit. Woo! I'm going to say that again. The spiritual root of which material things are a fruit. And I want to say that according to Hebrews 11 and verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things. Now let's just kind of pause it there. Faith is the substance of things. Now somebody, you know, if we read the whole thing, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But I want you to just lift out those words. Faith is the substance of things. In other words, things are made up of something. Things are composed of a substance. And faith is the substance of things. Now the same chapter goes on to break this down, and it says that by faith we know that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. We'll say it again. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made from things which do appear. In other words, physical things have spiritual roots. Physical things and visible things were made from invisible stuff. And, you know, of course, the Bible has said this for thousands of years. Science has come along and confirmed that matter is composed of particles called molecules. Matter is composed of particles called molecules. And those molecules are composed of particles called atoms. And those atoms are composed of subatomic particles called protons and neutrons and electrons. And then as you begin to look at those particles, they are made up of even smaller particles. Now, the fact is that once you get to the atomic level and the subatomic level, these particles are not actual things. According to the laws of physics, they are energy. They are information. And energy and information, you know, swirling in a ball, form the smallest particles from which big things are made. So that the essential rule of physics, or what we discover from the laws of physics, is that material things are made up of non-material substances. Material things are made up of non-material substances. And here's the Bible saying years ago, thousands of years ago, that the physical world was framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made from things which do appear. We also have in Hebrews 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things. And so this is important because if there are things that you are hoping for in your life, and if there are things that you desire, and if there are things that you are praying for, or things that you are promised, then it's important to understand where those things are coming from. They are coming from an invisible place into a visible space. They are coming from a spiritual root and will manifest as a physical fruit. Now, I mean, as much as, you know, I kind of want to just rip this apart and unpack it in the most profound ways, I'm going to show you at the end how you can unpack it, but let's look at the Bible as a whole, okay? Some people, when they read the Bible, they think they use the Bible to spiritualize material things. So if the Bible makes reference to riches, or it makes reference to land, or it makes reference to power, what we'll do is we will say these are metaphors, and we will use them to become, to mean something spiritual to us, not something physical, but something spiritual. Whereas quite clearly, from the opening chapter of the Bible, the Bible is not about spiritualizing material things, but it is about materializing spiritual things. And when you use the scriptures to materialize spiritual things, then you are fulfilling your destiny as a man created in the image and likeness of God. When you are using the principles of Scripture to materialize spiritual things, then you are fulfilling your destiny as a man made in the image of God. Why? Because Genesis chapter 1, we see God materializing his own thought, materializing his own intention, materializing his own imagination, materializing or manifesting his own idea. In the beginning, God created. And we see in John 1, in the beginning was the Word. So before there was a physical world, there was a, it was created in the mind of God and then manifested through through the Word of God. It was created in the mind of God and then manifested or materialized through the Word of God. And when the same chapter says God created man in his own image and after his own likeness, it simply means that man has the privilege and the purpose of materializing spiritual things. And this differentiates us from every animal on the face of the earth. Hey, glory to God. This differentiates us from animal kind. You know, if you really want to see the difference between a human being and an animal, then that difference is no more clearly seen than in the realm of creativity. Because no matter how much the monkey looks like a man or the man looks like a monkey has no chance, irrespective of the films that are out there today, a monkey has no chance whatsoever of making the telephone that you are using right now. The telephone that you are using right now is an expression of a superior intelligence and an ability to manifest or materialize an idea. Monkeys will not create pens and paper, let alone computers and the internet, let alone skyscrapers and rockets. But man has, because man is created in the image of a creating God. Man is a creator, and his capacity to create is unlimited. It is innate. It is part of his human nature. And so, let's now bring this all together, because I've jumped from one concept to another. I've jumped from the concept of the fact that we live in three worlds simultaneously. I have gone into the fact that things, material things, have spiritual origins. So what has this got to do with man and our question of what is man? Well, according to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, a man, a total human being, is composed of spirit, soul, and body. And this means that man is fundamentally the bridge between three worlds. We'll say again, man is the bridge between three worlds because he lives simultaneously in three realms. He lives in the spiritual realm by his spirit. He lives in the soulish or the realm of consciousness by his soul. And he lives in the physical world by his body. A man, a human being. When I say a man, I'm not being gender specific. I'm speaking of mankind, humanity. A human being, a complete human being, has access to the spiritual world where God is sovereign. He has access to the realm of consciousness through his soul, and he accesses and he experiences the physical world through his body and his five senses. This makes him a bridge between three worlds. And because he's a bridge, then things can pass through a human being from the spiritual world into the material world. In fact, you are made to manifest, created to create, and designed to deliver packages from the spiritual world and into the physical world. They're going to come through you. And this is why Jesus puts emphasis on the fact that the kingdom of God is within you, because there are things or packages that can pass from the spiritual world into the physical world, but only through a human being. As a child of God, whose spirit has been revived, you are able to do something that unregenerated people cannot do. Now, an unregenerated person can transport an idea from the realm of consciousness and into the physical world. That is why big businesses, new technology, inventions are constantly coming out of people that do not know Christ as Lord and Savior. Because the conscious world is real. And every human being has access to the conscious world, experiences the world of consciousness through your mind, which is your soul. And you can bring things from your mind and into the physical world. It's amazing. But what you can do is you can bring things from the third heaven, from the spiritual world, the pure spiritual world in which God is sovereign. You can bring things from that world through the world of consciousness and into the physical world. And there's a process by which you do it that we don't have time to deal with tonight. But in answer to the question, what is man? Man is a bridge between three worlds. He connects all these worlds together. And through man, God can send things from heaven right into the earth realm. It will first originate in your spirit. It will enter into your soul, which is your mind, your consciousness, and become manifest in the physical world through you. And that is why you are more important to God than the sun, the moon, and the stars. You are more important to God than the seven wonders of the world. You are more important to God than any other creature on the face of this world, because you were uniquely designed to deliver things from his world to this world. You are uniquely designed to be the bridge. Now, you're the bridge, but faith is the vehicle. Faith is the vehicle so that by faith you can take things out of one world and put them into another world. You can take things out of the spiritual realm and bring them into the physical realm. That's what you were designed to do. And when a human being is not creating, when a human being is not manifesting, when you are not actively materializing ideas, your intentions, your imagination, when you are not actively materializing your core idea, your intention, imagination, then you are missing the point and the purpose of your very humanity. But when a person gets an idea from God and incubates it until it is ready to be materialized in the physical realm, that person is fulfilling their destiny as a man created in the likeness of God. Well, that was a very, very big chunk of meat. And what I'm going to do is unmute the phone, take some questions, and I'm going to tell you how you can get more of an understanding of what I call spiritual sciences, the science of spirituality, and why this is an area that we have to reclaim as the body of Christ, because there are many other groups who are laying claim to spiritual sciences and really do not know the Lord. So let me unmute now.